steps into it. Pass is caught! Sideline! Touchdown! Unbelievable! Vikings win it!
Hello, hello, let's go. It's your man Flip Mozzie, and thank you for spending 15 minutes with me today. We are settling in with some summer vibes. Basketball and hockey postseasons are almost over. Baseball is boring. All my teams are under 500, so it's football season. Time to start thinking about how big we can dream in 2018. To do that, I'm taking a study done by Mike Clay that I found very interesting, his projections project, where he predicts stats for every player on every team. It generates a lot of complaints, brings out a lot of trolls, but I'm mainly just fascinated by the effort it takes to do something like this. So I'm not going to hate on Mike. Instead, I'm going to go over his projections for our favorite 53, the Minnesota Vikings. Starting with quarterback, Clay's projections for Kirk Cousins are in line with what Kirk has done in his career up to this point. He sees the same quarterback who puts up a lot of yards, touchdowns, and yes, even interceptions and sacks. Completion rate is right at 65% with a 7.6 yards per attempt. The only real gripe you can make with the analysis are Kirk's sack percentage and rushing touchdowns. Kirk has had at least 4 rushing TDs in each of his past 3 years, but Clay has him down for 2. As far as sacks, we'll get into that in a second. There are 2 main takeaways I see here. First, I'm a little surprised that Kirk's gross numbers don't drop. It's driven mainly off passing attempts. 572 passing attempts is a lot. It would have been the 3rd most in 2017. The Vikings played a style of football last year that didn't require a lot of passing, mainly due to game situation and having the lead. Of course, that can change. New offensive coordinator John DeFilippo comes from Philadelphia, which had a very pass-heavy offense, despite having many of those big leaps throughout the regular season. The end result for Kirk is the 5th most passing yards, 8th most touchdowns, and 4th most interceptions. It all sounds great until you get to the rate statistics. Captain Kirk's main issues have been his interceptions and sacks. These are what prevent his sublime gross numbers from translating into his rate stats. Clay's forecasting him with a 9th best yards per attempt, for example, but his adjusted yards per attempt, which accounts for interceptions, is only 14th. Clay sees him throwing interceptions at the same rate as his career average. Those 14 picks would be the 4th most in 2017. Kirk also gets sacked a lot, 35 times or more than twice per game. Elite play from Cousins will only come by eliminating those interceptions and sacks. And don't forget the fumbles. We don't project them here, but in 2017, 13 fumbles in 16 games, 9 each in 2015 and 2016. He's consistently a top 10 fumbler. This isn't anything new. Kirk in Minnesota probably won't achieve a higher completions percentage or yards per attempt or quarterback rating than what we've seen over the last 3 years here in Minnie. The rate stats show that he's an average quarterback, but he's more consistent than the other average QBs. The excitement really begins when we start looking at running back. There isn't a lot of data on Dalvin Cook, so that's a big question mark. Then you have to ask how the new scheme and Jeff's departure will affect things. The estimate here has Cook coming back and receiving a heavy workload. 270 attempts and 73 targets, both top 10. He lists Cook for 1,140 rushing yards, which would be a top 5 rusher in 2017, and 500 receiving yards on top of that. 1,640 yards from scrimmage would be a dream. We should note that, as with Cousins, the rate stats don't look as great. 4.2 yards per attempt seems shockingly low, considering Cook was at 4.8 last year. He also is projected for a low 74% catch rate. It isn't the first time I've seen an analyst knock Cook for his drops in the passing game. All in all, we're looking for 110 all-purpose yards per game for Dalvin, right where he was last year. Then there's Latavius Murray, who understandably sees a big drop-off in production, seeing only 95 rushing attempts. That's as many as Russell Wilson had last year. Given all those lost carries, you really have to look at the rate stats, and the good news is that Clay still has Tay Train with a respectable 4.0 yards per carry and 7.7 yards per reception. He's just not set to see the ball this year. It's projected to lean very heavily towards Cook. Dalvin is projected to get 71% of the running back usage. I think that we have to look at 3 rushing touchdowns for Murray as a bit low. I mean, the man barreled into the end zone every other game last year. I think 6 touchdowns is probably a better number. Minnesota scored 15 rushing touchdowns last year. All in all, the Vikings' 1,560 rushing yards would be good for 25th in 2017. 4.2 yards per carry would be 11th. It's a pass-heavy forecast for our purple in 2018. So us Vikings fans have to be really excited about this projection at this point. We'd basically have a top-5 passer in Cousins and a top-5 rusher in Cook. The second most passing yards in team history to Dante Culpepper's 2004. It'd be the third time the franchise had a 4,000-yard passer and a 1,000-yard rusher. Brett Favre and Adrian Peterson did it last in 2009. So now our focus turns to the wide receivers and the tight ends. If our purple are going to put up all those passing yards, who's going to reel them in, as Brian Robinson would say? Well, we'll start with the bad news. This forecast is very unkind to Laquon Treadwell or David Morgan. Neither of them are scheduled to make a catch per game. For Treadwell, that's a big downgrade as he at least had 20 catches last year, but the projections do have him scoring his first NFL touchdown. It seems his thunder will be stolen by Kendall Wright. Kendall will replace Jarius from last year, but that isn't quite an accurate statement according to this analysis. You see, Treadwell and Jarius had almost equal production in 2017. Both were around 20 catches and 200 yards. These projections have Kendall taking all of that production, 43 catches on 67 targets and 512 yards. So this is a big upgrade over Jarius. Compared to Kendall's career averages, though, it is a downgrade since he's now the third or fourth receiver. Still, we'll take about 2 to 3 catches and 30 yards per game from Kendall. Any day, all day. Then, there's tight end Kyle Rudolph. He's scheduled to see a noticeable increase in yards as well. This projects him to be a big fan of Kirk Cousins. 89 targets, 60 catches, 612 yards, and 7 touchdowns. That's the type of mattress that Kirk Cousins needs. It would be the second best year of Kyle Rudolph's career and a top 10 tight end year compared across the board. And we're still not done. From 1994 to 2000, Minnesota accomplished an incredible feat. 7 years in a row with 2 receivers eclipsing 1,000 yards. Back then, it was a mix of Chris Carter, Jake Reed, and Randy Moss. Now these estimates have Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs getting there, like they almost did last year. Neither receiver is projected to have a truly eye-popping season, but instead they have very similar statistics. Thielen leads the way with 11 more targets, 3 more catches, 150 more yards, and 1 more touchdown. Adam's numbers make sense. They're in line with the 14 yards per reception that he's achieved in his last 2 years. 7 touchdowns would also be a nice increase over the 4 he scored in 2017. Clay has him at 85 catches, 1,200 yards. That would put him 7th in the NFL. I can't really gripe on any of that. I do think he's selling Diggs a tad bit short, however. His projection has Stephon as more of a volume possession receiver, which he was during 2016, aka the year of Checkdown Sam. Ignore that, dream big. 82 catches, 1,045 yards, and 6 touchdowns? That's too low. Both the yardage and the touchdowns. And you know what? I did the math. Clay is missing 3 touchdowns from scoring predictions. Give all 3 to Stephon, or give 2 to Latavius. I don't care. This offense is scoring just as many, if not more, touchdowns than they scored last year. Overall, Clay has our offense turning into a juggernaut, so we should be happy with what we see here. A top 10 scoring offense, a top 5 quarterback, top 5 running back, top 10 tight end, and two top 15 receivers. Too good to be true, especially when you consider the defense. Now on defense, the point score just make no sense. Come on, Mike. You're telling us that the best defense in the league, 252 points allowed last year, is going to allow 338 in 2018? 5 more points a game? That would have had us at 14th last year. What? That would be the most points allowed since 2014. The only plausible explanation is that the offenses we face are that much better. But we can't accept this. We're not allowed to. And it gets a little more fun with the points forecast. How do we feel about Dan Carlson kicking 84% field goal percentage and 93% on extra points? We feel that slightly below Kai Forbath's career averages and above Carlson's career college numbers, so question mark there. More special teams, Ryan Quigley is projected to be a below average punter with 44.6 yards per punt, 22nd in the league, but the gap to first is only 5 yards and he won't be punting much and special teams is pretty boring. For punt returns and kick returns, the forecast has Mike Hughes doing more work here than Marcus Sherrills, even though Sherrills has a higher and top 10 yards per return on both kickoffs and punts. That doesn't make much sense to me, but now, yeah, I'm starting to run off. Special teams, again, boring. Let's move on to the defense. Yes, the defense, our fantastic, fierce defense. The Zim Reapers, a stacked unit from top to bottom. What does Mike Clay say about this group and how it'll fare in 2018? Now, let's be clear here. This analysis is mainly dealing in gross stats, things like tackles, sacks, and interceptions. While it's great to consider production, these stats clearly don't carry as much weight on the defensive side of the ball. It's June. We're not trying to make any final conclusions about 2018, but it's still worth a look to see how things might evolve from last year to this year. Adding Sheldon Richardson, drafting Mike Hughes, what can we expect? So because the defensive stats don't carry as much weight, I'm not going to go as in-depth as I did on the offense, but we're going to start on the defensive line in the interior, where Richardson and Linval Joseph lead the way, with Jaleel Johnson being the third interior defender. At edge, Daniil Hunter, Everson Griffin, and Brian Robinson are in charge yet again. In terms of snaps, this projects less of rotation than last year, with Jaleel replacing Shamar Stephen and Stephen Weatherly's usage staying flat. It's a nice outlook for Linval, keeping his 4 tackles per game and sack rate that he's averaged over the last 3 years. Sheldon Richardson also is estimated to post solid numbers, and I'll note that his stats with 15 more tackles show better than what Tom Johnson achieved in 2017. Jaleel is the real question mark at defensive tackle. He logged only 41 snaps last year. Clay does tap him with 253 snaps, 16 tackles, and a sack. For the edge defenders, things look very promising. We're talking about another banner year for Daniil Hunter. Double-digit sacks, 11, and that's only beat by the sack daddy, of course, who's estimated to produce 12 of them. Those numbers would put both defensive ends among the 14th best sack artists in the NFL. Clay also has the age in Brian Robinson playing more snaps than he did last year and adding 5 sacks, again more than his 2017 total of 4. In the total projection, we have 44 sacks for our Zim Reapers. That'd be good for a top 5 number in 2017. Moving to the linebackers, the money man, Bash Brother Kendricks, looks to have his best statistical year ever. 124 tackles, 3 sacks, 1 interception, all career highs, and 7 pass breakups on top of that. A tackling machine. He's estimated to be complemented by the 91 tackles, 2 sacks, and interception with 6 pass deflections from Bash Brother Anthony Barr. That, combined with Ben Gideon's uptick, paints a clear picture of an upgraded linebacker play from the Minnesota Vikings, and that's something to get really excited about. What does Clay think about the deep cornerback core of Xavier Rhodes, Trey Waynes, Terrence Newman, Mike Hughes, and Mackenzie Alexander? How is that going to unfold? Exactly in that order. Mack is the forgotten defender in this projection. Hughes basically takes his role as the fourth defensive back in his rookie year, adding one pick and four batted balls. But even he is outshined by the savvy veteran Terrence Newman. Newman's stats project him to be in decline, but 455 snaps for him still seems heavy. We have to think the Vikings phase him out quicker than this to bring in the young guys. Alexander and Hughes, we've got to bring him up to snuff. Still, don't doubt Tinu. In his 15-year career, the man has averaged 59 tackles, 3 interceptions, and 13 pass breakups. Ridiculous. When looking at Waynes and Rhodes, the initial reactions might be shock. But Waynes' higher tackles and pass deflections make sense. He's just gonna draw more targets than Rhodes. He did last year and held up admirably. Clay has him improving in every statistical category. Meanwhile, Rhodes' production is estimated to be flat. The man has peaked, now it's just maintaining his elite level of play. The same is true for Harrison Smith's outlook. 6 tackles, 2 picks, 2 sacks, 7 batted balls. That's classic hitman. Finally, Andrew Sendejo, like Kendricks, Barr, Waynes, and Hunter, is projected to raise his game to the next level. Career highs in tackles, interceptions, and pass deflections. Defensive stats don't mean near as much, but looking at these numbers from player to player, it describes a purple defense that is going to be flying to the ball all over the field. Of course, it could also foretell a defense that achieves more stats as they struggle to get off the field. You know me, I choose the former. Clay's projections are the most bullish I've seen for our purple in a long time. Whether we're talking fantasy or not, outside of ghost years from Treadwell and Alexander, it's an estimate that considers Minnesota a contender, 5th best team in the NFL. I'm loving it. Thanks for listening, guys. Time to shut it down.